Of course, the crowd wants Reed to go for it. Wouldn't be surprised if he did on 4th and 1.
So, anyways, with that, time, George.
Welcome to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. Nick, you know, another week where a lot of the breaking news is off the field, right? I mean, you know, the Chiefs at New England game was postponed today, and then there was a lot of conversation, you know, Wednesday about the hug that Patrick Mahomes and Steph Gilmore shared after the game when it came out that Gilmore had tested positive the day after the game. Now there's news later in the week that the Chiefs game at Buffalo next week may be on the move. Is this just the new reality in the NFL this year, trying to play this season during a pandemic?
I mean, I think this is a new reality in the world in general. We just have to learn how to, as the Chiefs have said it, adapt and adjust, or survive and adapt, or whatever you want to call it, whatever catchphrase you want to come up with. I mean, that's just the way the world's going to work. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, you know, I was going to go to the Palmer family cookout at one point, and, you know, and then, you know.
I cancel it. We cancel
social,
it.
Social distancing happened, and, you know.
We're a dirty people.
You gotta pivot, man. You just got to pivot and adjust. So, I mean, you know, that's just the way, like you said, that's the way life's going to be. I mean, it's going to be like that for the foreseeable future. I mean, my paranoia will last forever, so that will never change. I will always be on heightened alert. So this is just, you know, this is just reinforced why I've been paranoid for so long. And why, you know, I can adapt and adjust to it a lot quicker than, you know, than some people can.
Yeah. Well, look, I was worried about this week's game because the Raiders also had a positive test earlier in the week. And so I thought, well, the Chiefs may end up getting pushed to Monday again or something like that. And of course, knowing there was a Thursday game the next week, I was kind of already expecting that might get kicked to Sunday. And that's still contingent a little bit on whether the Titans continue to not have positive tests. I think the Chiefs are fortunate, right? Because Jordan Ta'amu last Saturday came out, he was COVID positive. But so far, no other Chiefs players or personnel that we're aware of have tested positive. So at least good news on that front right now. It looks like the Chiefs-Raiders game will be played at noon as scheduled. Do you think the Chiefs-Raiders is the biggest rivalry for the franchise and in the AFC West, or do you think it's Chiefs Broncos?
I don't, you know, I mean, the Raiders were a rival at one point, and I mean, they were the game that you hated because of Marty and the way that Marty was able to kind of create that. But I mean, over the years, it's not there anymore. And the Broncos, I don't think – it doesn't feel like the Broncos is there as much anymore. I mean, I don't know if the Chiefs honestly have a true rival that you – it doesn't matter what the record is. You just want to destroy them and embarrass them in an organized football contest. I mean, you like to see Gruden get mad on the sidelines and, you know, get frustrated and all that type of stuff. But it's just – I don't – you know, when you pose that question, I just don't know if the Chiefs have a rival anymore. I think more – in terms of AFC West, I think more it's kind of more who the playoff teams are, to where, like, you know, whenever you play Belichick, are you going to be able to get the best of them this time? Or whenever they play the Ravens, are they going to be able to answer what they may throw at them in the run game and the blitz? So, I mean, for the Chiefs, I feel like it's kind of evolved for, and that's kind of a good thing because it means you're having more success.
Well, and to your point, I mean, since Andy Reid got here, the Chiefs have won 12 out of 14 games against the Raiders. And needed a lot of help from the officials in one of those games, you know, to even get one of the two wins that the Raiders have in this series so far. So I still will say this, though. I like watching the Chiefs turn the black and the silver and black into black and blue. I mean, I'm never going to get tired of beating up on the Raiders. I want to know, you know, when you look at this Chiefs defense this year, are you surprised? I mean, they're the number two scoring defense in the NFL right now. Does that surprise you do you consider this defense elite right now?
I think this defense, where it's at right now, is it's one of the few that doesn't have to add a lot of pieces to it. They're not having to adjust a lot of stuff. They went through the growing pains last year. And I'll tell you what, where this defense is in terms of defensive line and secondary, those are both what's kind of making it. Those are both really, really good. It's the linebacking group that kind of is still a work in progress, and we'll have to evaluate that at the end of the year, depending on where they go. But I mean, yeah, that secondary, Dave Merritt and Sam Madison, they're such good coaches. And then Brendan Daly's such a good D-line coach that they really make those positions, no matter who the player is, they coach them up. They give them everything they need to succeed. They help them work in the scheme. I mean, whenever you can lose an Emmanuel Ogbon and bring in Taco Charlton and not miss a beat, when you can draft Mike Dana and bring him in and not miss a beat, and when you can have Mike Pinnell and Wharton, you know, do what they do and give a really good rotation along with Nnadi and Jones, like that's kind of where the keys are in that. And Fenton had himself an awesome game against the Patriots after watching the All-22, what he's able to do. And a lot of that's through the coaching that they've built him up over time. Ward has continually grown over time. You saw Snead really shine. And you could just keep going and going. But my point is like the secondary group and the D-line, they are what make this defense so good because they have so much depth and such good coaching.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I think against the Raiders, like those are, the defensive line is where you have to win this battle. I mean, the Raiders' strength, they've invested a lot of money in that offensive line. They're big, they're physical up front. And that's where, when you're playing the Raiders, you have to beat them in the trenches. And what's funny to me is everybody in the NFL knows that, and everybody seems to figure that out, because you think about the Raiders, you think about them as like this power run team, and like that should be their identity, and that should be what they're good at. And then you look at the numbers, and frankly, they're a league average rushing offense right now. And some of that has to do with the fact that the defense isn't very good. But does Josh Jacobs at this point in his career scare you as a running back? I mean, if you're the Chiefs defense, are you looking at this matchup and saying, man, we got a big problem with Josh Jacobs?
I don't think the Raiders run game, from what I've seen this year, scares you to the extent that Derrick Henry could with the Titans in terms of how they could go off last year. Like that, it's not that per se. I mean, don't get me wrong, his last name's Jacobs, so you know he's good at what he does. I mean, that's
right.
That's just part of the Jacobs name. that's what you carry with you. So Josh does a really good job. He's a really good runner, and I mean, I don't want to take that away from him. It's just Derek Carr. Let's be honest. Like for as good as their O-line and their run game can be when they want to use it, Derek Carr holds his offense back so much from what it can be and from being something similar to what maybe the Chiefs are after the receivers over time in Oakland kind of get to that Chiefs level and build on that. And that's going to take years to do. But I mean, when you have a guy like, when you got a guy like Waller and then you got the receiving corps that they do overall and watching those guys, and there's a lot there to work with. But just watching Carr and watching him whenever I was doing the scouting stuff this week, like it's so infuriating to watch that guy and be like, man, and if I'm Gruden, like how frustrated are you that you're watching Mahomes, you're watching Herbert, and you're like, I'm going against these quarterbacks four times a year, and I got Derek Carr as my response. So, I mean, I can only imagine the frustration.
You know what? This is a good place to stop, and we will talk a little bit more about Derek Carr and why this Raiders offense isn't as good as it probably should be on the other side of this break.
Your chance to speak up, to do something, to change the things around you. It's your right. More importantly, it's your vote.
This election, Kansas City will turn to 41 Action News.
From registering to vote, to absentee and mail-in voting, to those key deadlines and more.
Your guide to make sure your vote counts is just a click away.
Now more than ever, speak up and make it count.
Your voice, your team, your vote in 2020.
Only on 41 Action News, KSHB.com, and your favorite streaming device.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And Nick, a bit of a cliffhanger there in the A block that we're going to talk a little bit about Derek Carr. But his development, look, he went through several coaches early in his career. There was a little bit of a disjointed start to his career. And we know that that can be a setback for a young quarterback. But this is what, year three under Gruden now. Are you seeing progress from him? Are you seeing him take the next steps in his evolution as more than just a guy in the NFL?
With Carr, where he's at, and this will be in the scouting report article. The thing is, when his back foot hits, that's when the ball has to be out in that scheme for him to look competent in it. Like when you allow him to do that, when that back foot hits and the ball's out after he's read 1, 2, or 3 in the scheme, the way that they have it set up and the reads are correct and nobody's done anything to stop what they're trying to attempt with that play against that defense. When that happens, he looks competent as a quarterback. He looks accurate. He's got good zip on the ball. It's when he has to hold onto the ball or he has to move or he has to ad lib. That's when things fall apart for him really quick. And another problem he has is when he's in the pocket, he wants to buy more time and step up. So a thing I've noticed whenever you do your rushes is if they go a little wider on their rushes and go past him, he'll step up and then he'll leave that ball open to where you can smack it out. So, I mean, if I'm the Chiefs defense, that's what I'm doing this weekend. I'm not going right to you. I'm going a little bit wider than you so I can get you to step up, and I'm going to hit that ball out and get some turnovers a couple of times. So, I mean, he doesn't have the bad trait that Jared Stidham did, that, you know, the one I talked about where he just kept hopping. He didn't have that timing irritation. I don't have that. Josh Allen has it, though, and we'll talk about that later. But, yeah, I mean, Carr, it's just – He can work within what the system is, but the circumstances and situations have to be right for it to get the results that they want.
And look, I mean, he's completing 73% of his passes this year, hasn't thrown an interception, and that's been an issue for Derek Carr in his career. But he's just not a guy who scares you. And the Chiefs with their secondary, especially with Bashaud Breeland back, that should help offset the loss of Legarius Sneed for another month or so here. You know, I mean, is it as simple as stop Josh Jacobs, figure out a way to contain Derek Waller and the rest should take, or sorry, Darren Waller and the rest should take care of itself?
Yeah, I think Waller is kind of one of the key parts of kind of treating him like the Patriots did Kelsey, like respecting that double and chipping and doing things of that nature.
It's almost like the Chiefs matchup with the Ravens, where controlling Mark Andrews really takes away that safety blanket for Lamar right. Jacobs, and then it just gets him uncomfortable.
Lamar Jackson, okay?
I want everybody to be Jacobs today.
Well, that's why I corrected you on that one, because there's a reason why I'm correcting you on that one, okay? The Jacobs name means something. That's why Josh Jacobs can have it.
Hey, as they will remind you, he is the reigning MVP.
Yeah, no, people did that in my mentions this week whenever I made sure that I brought up about where I think the quarterback – like, there's a certain faction of quarterbacks that you're really excited about in the league. So, I mean, you're excited about Mahomes and you're excited about Deshaun Watson. And, you know, I named off – you know, I'm really excited about Burrow and what I watch from him. And then Herbert, I love what I watch from him. And Russell's still doing a phenomenal job right now. So, I mean, there's a lot of good quarterback play that you were nervous about. Like when you had Brady and Manning and Rodgers, you're like, man, where's that mantle going to be in between?
I know Tua hasn't played yet, but he's a guy I'm very intrigued. I think he can be in that class too.
And he might be after we see him play a handful of times. There might be that. I know people criticized me and said, oh, Justin Herbert's only played 3 games. Yeah, but those 3 games have been really, really good.
Well, and here's another thing. Like, look, total yards per game is not the end-all, be-all stat. The Dallas Cowboys lead the NFL in that category, and a lot of that has to do with the fact they're playing catch-up every game because their defense is so bad. Yeah. But if you look at total yards per game, behind Dallas, you've got Green Bay undefeated, Seattle undefeated. You've got Buffalo undefeated and the Kansas City Chiefs undefeated. Guess who ranks sixth in total offense right now? It's the Los Angeles Chargers and Justin Herbert.
Oh, I wasn't interested in guessing.
All right. Well, there you go.
I heard you start using numbers.
No, I know. I was only counting.
Yeah. Once you use more than 3 numbers, my brain just turns off and I just stare out like a zombie. I have no idea what's going on at that point. You can tell me anything else, but as soon as I hear more than 3 numbers, it's boom. goes into sleep mode.
Let me put it this way. I was backing up your point that Justin Herbert has had a really strong start to his career. And Anthony Lynn, make no mistake, Anthony Lynn loves Tyrod Taylor. Yeah. And it hurt him to this week to say, you know what? Justin's playing too well. We can't go back. This is a shame because, I mean, I think that's the worst way I've ever heard of a quarterback losing his job, to have your own team doctor puncture your lung before a game when you were trying to gut one out for the team. But I agree that Justin Herbert has made it so that they can't go back.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see how the league and everything evolves. And then, I had some Ravens fans that were very upset with my comment of when I said, we'll see what, you know, kind of Jackson and Murray turn into. And what I mean by that, and I didn't really care to explain any more in depth because they'd already made up their minds. So I've just learned not to waste energy sometimes on arguments. With Jackson, yes, he did win MVP, and they're 100% right about that. But he won it because of his athletic ability and how awesome of a runner he is and how dynamic he is with the speed. He's an insanely awesome athlete.
Yes.
But he's limited in what he can do in that offense and how he can throw. You can't just throw him in any offense. It's got to be play action pass, in between the numbers. Who's your tight end? Is there a guy who, if he chucks it up, can run underneath it, like Brown? So, I mean, there's just a lot of different factors that make his game what it is. So, I mean, and the other thing is, with as much as he runs and how much as Murray's run it sometimes, I was taught a long time ago by some defensive players that played in the league, there's only so many hits you can take before you lose your dynamic ability. And you see that with everybody. The Dexter McCluster, if you remember when he was here early, he had a lot of dynamic ability. But, man, they let him take a lot of shots over the years at wide receiver, and he lost that. Dante Hall lost that. I mean, every player loses some of that dynamic ability because of the amount of hits their body takes.
And that's not something that bounces back. I mean, I guess maybe if you take a whole year off, at the right point in your career, it could. But look at Le'Veon Bell. I mean, he got used hard in Pittsburgh, took a year off. I mean, what's he done for the Jets? I mean, he has not come back as that dominant player that he once was. The dominant player who, I don't want to bring up the divisional playoff game again. That was that's upsetting for people. But hey, going to take a quick break. We're going to wrap this thing up by talking a little bit more about the Chiefs' offense. And it's strategic. We know that you guys want to talk about Patrick Mahomes, so we're making you wait for it. We're making you earn it in the C block here on the other side of this.
Strategery.
That's right. On the other side of this break.
It's about time to watch on your time. Whether your schedule has changed or stayed the same, stream while you wait for your morning coffee, or lunch delivery, or while you prep for dinner. It's about time we fit into your schedule. Streaming local news 24/7. Search 41 Action News on your device.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs, or should I call you Nick Jackson, here for the C Block.
Don't ever do that again. Don't ever insult a family name like that.
Yeah.
Are you going to give me a present for Christmas that's like a family crest that has an incorrect name on it?
Yeah.
Congrats to the Jackson family.
It'd be like, winning. I do want to there was one thing I wanted to clean up on the talk about the Chiefs defense, and that was by the way, if you want to slide into Nick's DMs or mentions, it's at Jacob71 on Twitter.
You cannot slide into my DMs. That is something that is not allowed. I have that blocked from Todd and everybody else. So,
but I did want to, I know there were a lot of questions about Willie Gay. I know you spent a lot of time breaking down the film.
Yeah.
That's right. By the way, I went and saw Jim Gaffigan last year right before the pandemic, and it was totally worth it. And he did the hot pocket bit, so I was thrilled. But what did you see from Willie Gay last week? And where do you expect him to go from here in terms of how the Chiefs use him on defense?
I mean, it's good they're getting him out there and getting him reps in their base package. So, I mean, I'm not upset about seeing him get actual live game reps in the defense. It's just, I think what people are expecting out of him, I think a lot of people are expecting him to be like this Derek Johnson style, just insane athletic ability. He can just close things down and just be this guy that the run defense needs. And the thing is, he doesn't have as much experience as Derek Johnson did, you know, at Texas. And I mean, it's going to take him time. I mean, I know when I was watching the coaches film, I mean, there were some times where he's just shuffling down the line and he's not sure what he's reading. It's going fast and he's shuffling left, he's shuffling right, and he's out of position. And like, I mean, that's just what he's going through right now. And I fully expect that to happen. And so, I mean, you hope by the end of the year he feels really comfortable, and that's kind of what you're shooting for overall. I don't think he's necessarily going to be the guy that cost them a game per se type of thing, but I fully understand and get that it's just going to take him some time to get to where he wants to, where everybody wants him to go. But I appreciate, I mean, he fought through some blocks. He's got the athletic ability. He can close down. It's just right now, I don't think he's sure on a lot of stuff, and he's used to the speed to where he can take full advantage of it, doesn't have to think, and it's just a pure reaction to where, oh, these five things happen, I adjust here, here, and here, no problem. Like Frank Clark can do. Frank Clark's insane in adjustments. I know he didn't play linebacker, but like the that dude knows when a cut block's coming, just bam, stop it, run outside, and then shut down the play, shut down the edge, and then he talks to the sidelines and notifies them about
about them.
So, but I mean, you know, that's just that.
So look, and here's the thing. If Ben Neiman was tackling like he should, if Ben Neiman was playing better, I don't think Willie Gay sees the field at this time. But I mean, it's kind of six of one, half dozen of the other. Ben Neiman knows where he's supposed to be, and he's there more often than Willie Gay is going to be right now, but he doesn't always make the play. Willie Gay may not be in the right position on all the plays, but he's also got the athletic ability to make the spectacular play on occasion and to make up for a mistake here and there with his effort and with his athleticism and his speed. So now it's a question of, if you're Steve Spagnuolo or you're Matt House, which way do you want to go? And I think what they basically decided was, we might as well get Willie Gay some reps and see if that doesn't help speed up his adjustment to the NFL, because he's not, I don't think he's going to get any better just going even one against one, you know, good on good in practice. They just don't get enough of those reps, and it's really not game speed. So I think this is the best way. If we're ever going to see what Willie Gay can really be, this is the way to go. Real quick, I wanted to ask you too about what the New England Patriots did to limit Patrick Mahomes. I know, you know, we talked about how they were dropping a lot of guys into coverage, really doing a good job mixing man and zone. But you, on your Jacob's Eye in the Sky there on Twitter, at Jacob71, once again, if you want to go check that out.
I like to call it the tweeter.
There you go. But, I mean, there were some plays where the Patriots only rushed two and were still able to get pressure.
Yeah.
And there are some really high-energy hustle guys on this pass rush for the Raiders. Do they have the horses to duplicate what the Patriots did and implement a similar strategy this week?
I'm kind of curious to see how the Chiefs want to handle Crosby, because I mean, he's a high energy guy.
He's the number one guy I'm thinking of, right?
Yeah, like I mean, he's a high energy guy that you're gonna have to chip at times, and you're gonna have to pay attention to, just to kind of get in his head a little bit and try to slow him down. And he's a guy that you kind of want to run at times if you're going to run on the edge and just relentlessly block him with double teams and just make it a miserable day for him. That's kind of what you're wanting to do with part of that. But I mean, I wasn't enamored with the Raiders pass rush when I was watching them. I was like, okay, they got Crosby and they got, you know, Jonathan Abrams, and that's kind of where it begins and ends whenever I'm watching them. I was like, those are the two guys you got to pay attention to. It's not,
Cleveland Farrell is not a top five pick.
now what I will say is, like, the one thing the Raiders collectively do well in their scheme is if you run a screen, they are all over that thing. Like, you can't run a direct screen. Now, if you do what the Chiefs do, we got a screen over here, screen there, and then, oh, hey, it's here in the middle. I mean, if you do those surprises, the Raiders are awful at misdirection in their run, you know, in defending an opponent. So, I mean, there's a chance to do some stuff there. So, I'm kind of curious to see how the Chiefs defend some stuff, but I'm not nervous about the Raiders' defense like I would have been Patriots with what they're going to throw and the Ravens' blitzes.
Well, and the Raiders are one of the worst scoring defenses in the league. They've given up 30 points or more in three games so far. They've given up at least 24 in every game. I don't think this is the Raiders, even though they've been trying through the draft to build a team that can compete with the Chiefs, they're woefully short of that right now. This is a bad matchup for the Raiders. I don't think they can keep pace with Patrick Mahomes. And like you said, I don't think they can duplicate what the Patriots did. I just don't think they have a good enough secondary. They don't have the McCourties. They don't have Steph Gilmore. And they don't have the coaching and the finer points of that pass rush to make what the Patriots did work. I do want to ask, though, have the Titans with this COVID outbreak done the Chiefs a favor? Because both you and I looked at that Thursday game in Buffalo and said, brutal, absolutely brutal. The Chiefs have to travel halfway across the country and play one of the toughest, most physical defenses and offenses in the NFL on 3 days rest. Like, that's awful. If that game gets pushed to Sunday, the Chiefs at least have a fighting chance, or more of a fighting chance, right?
It is definitely not going to hurt them if that happens. It'll give them a good chance to get their bodies on rest and be on an equal playing field overall. So, I mean, that, and it's another one of those crucial potential tiebreakers that could help the Chiefs out if they need to come playoff time. So that's one that I'm not going to be upset if the game happens to get moved back to Sunday.
right.
I'm not going to be furious with that. I mean, I know some other teams in the AFC will probably be upset about that, but I'm personally, you know, that's one that's going to go to the Chiefs' advantage if that happens. It doesn't mean they're going to win the game, but it's not going to hurt them being able to have a competitive game at the level that fans expect.
No, that could be – that could be an AFC championship game preview. I know there's a lot of talk about the Ravens and you know, Patriots, and we didn't see the Patriots at their best on Monday without Cam Newton there, but Buffalo's been impressive this year. Real quick, last thing, Mike Dana out with the hamstring injury. The Chiefs officially ruled him out. Chris Jones, though, was a full participant Thursday and Friday in practice. It looks like he will be available if the Chiefs want him to play, but you think they should hold him out a second straight game, right?
Without knowing definitively where the Buffalo game is or isn't going to land, I'm not going to be upset if the Chiefs hold them out another game, because they're getting really good production from Wharton and Mike Pinnell and from Derek Nnadi. They're getting really, really good production from those three defensive tackles that you don't necessarily need Chris Jones per se to win this game or to be the difference maker. I mean, you can have him and he'll do all that. There's no doubt about that. But I would rather have him as close to 100% as you can for that Bills game, especially if it's on a Thursday versus using him on a Sunday. So hopefully the Chiefs will obviously know at that point if that game is happening in that way by the time they have to make that inactive decision. But I'm not going to be upset that if he doesn't play on Sunday.
Well, and the Chiefs may not know, because the game on Sunday between the Bills and the Titans has already been moved to Tuesday, but that's still contingent on Tennessee not having any more positive tests. They didn't have any Thursday. That was announced Friday, but they've got to have no positive tests on Friday just to reopen the facility Saturday and play that game on Tuesday, which is why the Thursday game would be punted. So it's, you know, the Chiefs are going to have it's going to be a tough week of preparation. Like we talked about at the very beginning of this podcast, unusual year, and the Chiefs are going to have to be prepared for pretty much anything next week because we just don't know.
Use my key word again, strategery.
There you go. What I do know is that we are out of time on this edition of the 4th and 1 podcast. We will be back to talk to you Sunday night after the Chiefs hopefully move to 5-0 with a victory over the Raiders. Anything else, Nick?
No, I just want you to know that I enjoyed shutting off my phone for a couple days on PTO days.
Nick,
I had
got
no idea
vacation.
What was going on in the world, and it was phenomenal. I hope to do more of that.
I don't know. Just do yourself a favor and Google vice presidential debate and fly, and then you'll be caught up on everything, all right?
That sounds like a solid pass. Well, something I don't want to know anything about.
All right. Well, fortunately, we didn't have any insect-related incidents on this podcast. And like I said, we'll talk to you again in a couple of days here on 4th and 1. Take care, kids.